Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour four, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We are looking for a bid at 877-881-1053, current high bid, 1500. Join us, John Gray, several other Rangers at Sandlot's Children's Charity, swinging for a cause on Sunday, 4 o'clock at the Globe. It is a Friday, so what you drinking, what you thinking is now less than 20 minutes away. Here's the Chief with an edition of the finest with his gas mask on.
Yeah, you too can have an opportunity at smelling Walchuk's flatulence if you show up on Sunday and you're the highest bidder.
I left the room.
Right now, that opportunity's for Brian Sykes, our good buddy, and he's an 817 man. He's ready to drink some beer, and so are we. All right, let's get down to it. Last night, Thursday night football. Okay, first thing that sticks out, the physicality for both sides.
Yeah.
Okay. Popping. I mean, they are smacking people. Every time you turn around, somebody's getting popped. The play where Tucker Kraft, big tight end, rumbling down the field, he gets smacked by two dudes, and then he jumps back up. Like, he does the like a karate-type move where you, like, throw yourself from flat to just up.
You're an athlete.
I don't know what that's called, but I was never able to do it.
Yeah.
But you lay down and you just throw yourself up.
Oh, you mean you're,
after getting crushed, I'm like, dude, that was one of the coolest things I've seen.
Oh, your back wouldn't allow you to do it?
No, just my general athlete. Before my back was a problem,
I've never seen somebody so young just have so many back problems like you do.
It's probably my least favorite thing about my life. If you had to just categorize it,
yeah.
I would probably throw that up there. And then the size of the...
Yeah.
Didn't you play a whole season like with a herniated disc or something like that?
I did play my senior year.
And your coach
year.
Was like, tough it out?
I thought it was Coach Evertson, the worst trainer in high school football history.
Uh-oh. Coach Evertson?
Yes.
Bad trainer?
Yes. Coach Evertson. Yes. Jeez. Awful.
Is he still there?
And it was like, I'm like, dude, I got this pain down the back of my leg here. I'm thinking it's a hamstring because what do I know? Yeah. And he's just like, take some ibuprofen. You'll be all right. Fine. So that's what I did for practice and for games. And then eventually that hamstring pain became all the way down into my toes. And it felt like I was being stabbed with a sword.
Ouch.
Everywhere. And
so you played five more games.
It was painful. It was painful. No, then the ACL went out and it was all she wrote. So, but yeah, even before my body started to break down on me at a way too early age, I couldn't do the flip yourself off the ground thing. That's
a tough deal, man.
I wonder how many people, aren't you in the 1% if you can do that? If you can lay down on the ground and then like do the back bend, throw you freaking self up off the ground.
I would say less than that.
I think you're in the 1%.
I would say less than that.
Yeah, there's more billionaires in the world than people that can do that.
I'm amazed at the dudes on videos that show that like they're running, but they're like not, their feet aren't on the ground. What's that called? Where they're kind of elevating.
Oh, have you seen that? I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
there's
gliding.
It's like you're gliding, but your feet aren't hitting the ground.
Like
it's
a like a circular moonwalk. They're coasting.
There was a guy at Texas A&M for senior night came out and he came gliding, and it's like he. The feet hit the ground.
It looked like he was floating.
And I'm like, how do these people do this?
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's more impressive to me than hoist yourself up.
Okay, but last night, you're talking about a 260-pound dude just getting cracked, and then boom, pops
you
himself right up.
You shouldn't be able to do that at 260.
You shouldn't.
That's like 210 max.
A stud.
Insane core strength, you know?
Shawn Michaels gave it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he lined the kids up for youth sports and say, can any of you do this?
Yeah, which ones of you can?
That's my shortstop.
Okay, you go over there and coach Dawson, the rest of you come with me.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome. But the general physicality last night, I mean, what just a truly enjoyable football game to watch from start to finish. It was physical, it was fun, it was electric. It was Christian Watson, every time he touched the ball, it's a big play. Might have been fumbling it down the field, but that dude was a big play machine. Jordan Love made a couple of throws last night that just they wow your socks off, dude. And the one where you have Jack Campbell up the middle, and it's like, oh, this is a surefire sack, and he dodges him, and then while he's like kind of falling left, he throws just the most beautiful ball right over the outstretched fingertips of the defender. There's Christian Watson, chunk gain. That was nasty. But then it all boils down to the decision.
The decision.
We take you 43 seconds left in an outstanding football game. We're all knotted up, and Detroit has the ball on the 21-yard line going in. They're looking to get into the red zone, if you will. Field goal range for sure. It's 4th and 1. Do you think the analytics told him to go for it? Because you'd be wrong if you thought that.
I wouldn't think so. I think fear of Jordan Love and the throws that he was making told him to do that.
Yes. Now, at that point,
He
knew the condition of his team. This is similar to Harbaugh in Baltimore. Yes. Like, dude, I can
give
get 12 inches.
Give me the coaches that can do this. Know the condition of your team.
Right, right.
Please.
It's a great point.
God.
Yeah, screw these analytics.
It's not that damn hard.
Damn.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
But it was a strong recommendation of +3% win percentage. Field goal attempt. You're 83%, go for it. You're 80% to win the game. And so I know 3% sounds small, but in these situations, you're talking that's a strong go for it.
I was thinking, though.
Or I mean, a strong field goal. Kick the field goal, and he defied that.
I think you kick the field goal. Jordan Love puts it on the 35 eventually. You know, he probably has 4 or 5 plays that he can get if you get down quick or get out of bounds, and you're going to overtime now. You know, I think that would have played so strong in my head. I expected that. You know, 45 seconds, a player like Jordan Love, the connections that he was making.
Yeah, and at this point, you're probably talking about no timeouts and probably, I would say, probably about 37 seconds or so, roughly, is what they would have had. And they have the ball on the 30-yard line. And he was, at that point, like that Green Bay offense was humming.
Yeah, yeah. So as it comes out, I'm thinking there's no way they're actually going to run this play. When it snapped, I was shocked.
Thought they were just going to hard count him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even Herb Street was saying that at the time. He's like, they might just be hard counting. Nope. And then Goff falls down and gets stepped on.
Left toe got stepped on. You know what's interesting about this? Because you go back, and I was looking at the decisions. By the way, it was a toss-up, according to Next Gen, what the NFL people get, like their numbers. It was a toss-up on that. Success for going for it was 76%. Field goal was 75%. So they called it a toss-up.
Next Gen called it a toss-up?
Next Gen called it a toss-up.
Why are you trying to dunk on my guy's numbers?
I
went and looked at it. But
Geofolytics say something different.
What's funny about that,
numbers, Brian.
He had a 4th and 1 in the third quarter on the Detroit 31 that got stuffed.
Yes.
So it was the coach's decision was go for it. Analytics said go for it, and it was a fail is what they had. So that was a 4th and 1 that they had. So
LaFleur actually had a bad 4th and 3 that he should have gone for, that he kicked the field goal on, but then they end up getting the interception, so it didn't matter. Or no, they got the 4th down stop, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But that one was kind of an egregious one there. But that's interesting. 75% success there.
Just from the Next Gen, what the teams get.
I honestly go on Ben Baldwin's 4th down decision bot. Which is an awesome account to follow, because anytime there's just like a standalone game going on, every 4th down decision, he's pumping out what should happen and what did happen. And so that's the one that I went off of there.
He had 5 decisions in that game. Campbell had 5 of them that were all go for it. And he went success, fail, success, success, success.
Mm.
Is what he did.
Man, Brian Branch, another dude.
How bad is he hurt?
I don't know exactly how bad he's hurt. I think it might have just been a cramp at the end.
Okay.
But I don't know. His calf, he was smacking people.
He was all over the place. David Montgomery, where he got completely bent backwards. Oh, I thought this guy's out for the season. And then he kept getting back up and wanting more, too.
These guys are different, man. They really are. But that was a fun one. A really, really awesome game that was enjoyed really from start to finish.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I got a couple of clips here. The first one is Nick Saban. Live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'd like to think he had just got done polishing off one of those pork rib mac and cheese bits they got going
in
the
stadium.
The title game.
In the stadium.
Yeah, in the stadium.
In
yeah.
the stadium
I thought I saw a little barbecue sauce on his collar.
You know,
he's
what's
wearing
funny,
a white shirt. Dangerous game.
McAfee has made him kind of loosen up. Like if you ever watch him on the show on Saturday, like they bring food out.
McAfee's
for him,
feeding him,
and McAfee's just like grabbing tomahawk chop and like shoving it into. Into his face and like
yeah. and he's loving every second of it.
And he's totally cool with that, man.
Never seen him glow like he's this before. Not even after a championship win.
Great.
So here he is on McAfee today, and this is just sort of Nick Saban's PSA to any coaches, I guess in particular college coaches that are looking at becoming the head coach of an NFL team, because he obviously did that with the Dolphins and failed. Here's what Nick Saban had to say.
Having interviewed for a few NFL head coaching jobs in the past.
Okay.
And I know you guys think that Chicago's a beautiful city and all that. But if you take a job where you don't have a roster, you got to look at the roster. Mm-hmm. You got to look at the salary cap. You got to look at the quarterback situation, which the Bears have a good one. But I'm saying you have to take all those things into consideration, because if you don't, you can end up in a no-win situation. Like, I took the Miami Dolphins job. We were $17 million over the cap, which was a lot back in those days. This is 20 years ago. We had the oldest team in the league. They're 4-12.
Oh, no.
Got no quarterback. And I'm thinking I'm going to make it right. Well, you know, we had a winning season the first year, but we couldn't get it turned around. But there were so many obstacles and no draft picks, because they gave them all away for Ricky Williams. So if you don't do your research in taking an NFL job, is my point.
I understand.
Regardless of how pretty the city is.
Did you know that going in, Coach?
Yeah, I knew it. I just had a bad case of the dumbass, that's all.
Well, bad case of the dumbass. I think we've all been there, been stricken with it for long periods, unfortunately. But I guess that was one of those moments in his career. Now, Omar Kelly, who is a great follow for Dolphins fans, he's covered the team for a long time. He did say, like, hey, for the record, Nick Saban can say what he wants about some of this stuff. And yes, the Dolphins are an unmitigated disaster by and large. But he passed on Aaron Rodgers. He could have drafted him second overall. I think that's when they took Ronnie Brown.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So you could have done that. And then you also could have had Drew Brees, and you went with Dante Culpepper.
Yeah.
So those are... You could have
the injury
could have had the quarterback.
Yeah, the injury to Drew Brees' shoulder took them out of that mix.
And that's an interesting what if?
Absolutely.
Because Saban could have Saban with Rodgers or Saban with Brees, you're probably looking at an extended period of winning, unless the Dolphins are just so disgusting that even that wouldn't have worked for them. But that would have been by far their best head coach quarterback duo they've had since Shula and Marino.
Yep.
Okay, now here is Albert Breer from last night, Thursday Night Football, and he's talking about Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, hot commodities, coordinators for the Lions. Listen to what he has to say about these fellas.
Well, Ben Johnson's certainly going to be at the top of a lot of lists, but the Lions offensive coordinator is planning on taking a very different approach to this hiring cycle than he has to the last couple. He will not chase interviews. If he takes an interview, it's going to be with the intention of actually pursuing the job. And to that end, he has a couple of criteria. Number one, he'll be looking for organizational alignment, in particular between the GM and the head coach. And then he'll be looking for a recognition from the organization of the things that have gone wrong and a willingness to fix them. And of course, Ben Johnson's not the only name on the Lions coaching staff that's going to garner interest. Defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn's done a great job as well. He's got connections to both the Jets and the Saints. He played for the Jets. He coached for the Saints. I'd expect both those teams to have interest in him.
Sounds like the coach we want, but the coach that the Jones family doesn't know we need. Chiafalo.
Yeah, amen to that, dude. Ben Johnson, once again. I mean, I love that he's like, it's going to be different this time for Ben Johnson. It's like, seems like that's been the case the whole time.
Yeah.
He's been very selective about the interviews, and it seems like he's interviewing them more than, because his stuff really speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Unless you just get a weird kind of personal vibe interaction when he sits down. But for the most part, like that hay's in the barn for him. He's trying to figure out what these teams got going on, and understandably so. He's in a great situation. He could obviously, in theory, just keep it running there as the OC with the Lions.
If he wants alignment from coaching staff and front office, could it work that the Joneses are willing to give their coaching staff personnel control? Could that be alignment?
No.
And what if the Cowboys said, yeah, our offense wasn't good. Whatever you say was wrong with it, we want to fix. Or is he talking about more logistical, operational, you know, decisions that they're making and the way they go about things? I want to believe there's a chance.
I think it's the latter with that one, what we're talking about. Yeah,
the overall culture and the way things go down here.
Yeah, like,
he wants to be
that
guy.
Right. That's like, kind like of the things I was hearing about Belichick. It was that, listen, okay, what's Will McClay's role?
Yeah.
Who's responsible for discipline? You know, I mean, all these questions you ask them before you even interview. Mm-hmm. And if they're like saying, no, Will's a very vital part of what we're doing, maybe a guy doesn't want that to be the case. You know, maybe he has somebody in mind, or maybe like he doesn't think that's a good way to operate. And then you don't take an interview.
He probably wants something like Shanahan and Lynch. You know, those guys seem like they are simpatico on all decisions. I think John listens to Kyle and vice versa. If Kyle wants something, John's going to say, okay, you're the coach, that's fine.
Yeah, I wonder if he would want to hire the general manager. Usually it's like you hire general manager, then you find your coach. He might want to do that in the reverse order. Like, let me help with that situation. I don't know.
Well, that could be the possibility of Belichick going and kind of doing maybe what would be Jacksonville, because they would probably blow their guy out.
Just give him keys.
Yeah, give him the keys. Or Bill could bring in somebody that he trusts to do the personnel for him.
By the way, it's called a kip up, apparently, to the Tolos texting
okay.
in to the ninja move to get yourself from horizontal on the ground to up. Kip up.
Kip up.
And it looks like it's the Juby slide, the sideways moonwalking thing where it looks like they're floating.
It's crazy. Badass. How do we do that?
I don't know.
Have you seen the videos?
I've seen
it's incredible.
Yeah. I'm very impressed.
Are their feet hitting the ground?
I have a video of me trying to do it once, and it's pretty hilarious.
Oh.
Okay, maybe I'll post that a little bit later on. We got to run, though. It's time now for that one segment of the week where you're encouraged to call in while intoxicated or in the process of catching a buzz. That's right. It's time for What You Drinking
and What You Thinking.
On the fan. At 877-881-1053, there is currently just one line open as we're going to hear from some legends, take your phone calls, and tell you what we're drinking and thinking here on a Friday night. Segment of the GBAC Nation is brought to you by the On Time Experts. That's your Expressway sponsor. And the 5 o'clock football hour, well, Chuck, is quite a doozy, isn't it?
It's always a doozy, baby, because it is the football hour presented to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football.
Right on. We'll go commercial free to the top right here. And I think with Lucius out, we're just going to hang with the phone calls. So keep them coming at 877-881-1053. Currently, I'm drinking a 20-ounce Diet Dr. Pepper. Ran out of Diet Cokes. I make a run on them most weeks. They're out by the end of the week. But the restocker hasn't figured out that you might want two rows of Diet Cokes here at 75 and Pitchy. But anyway, that's a story for another day. I'm thinking Mavs have a great opportunity to get their seventh win in a row tomorrow night against a down Toronto Raptors team, 7-16 on the year. They're giving up 117 points per game. So, you know, that should be amazing. I know Jason Kidd has a headline today talking about how brutal and unfair the schedule has been, but this team is built for it. I don't think there's any challenge that's going to slow them down this year. Brian, what are you drinking and what are you thinking?
You know what? I got a Martin House beer and I poured it into my orange cup here.
That Dr. Bachman, you can't stay away from it.
I can't stay away from that.
Next Saturday, you're going to get buck wild on that thing.
I'm looking forward to being right where it's born, you know, right there. Just maybe stand under that tap and just let it go. Just let it go.
Can we get you in a keg stand? When's the last time you did one?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't think I've ever done one in my life.
Really? Huh. I thought that was like the thing, especially in y'all's heyday, because I haven't done one either, but I've never really had the opportunity to.
We've taken keg hits, like you take the tap and go that route, but I've never.
Upside down?
Never done it upside down.
We had this giant dude. We called him Lurch. He was
Adam's family.
He was a beat writer for the Trailblazers, and we were having this big party once at Portland Speedway, actually, watching the Indy cars or the kart cars, whatever they were at the time. And we talked this guy into it, but he was so big we couldn't hold him up enough, and he had like beat writer arms. I mean, they were just barely muscular at all. Dude ends up buckling
face down. Yeah.
His teeth bounce off the rim of that can, dude.
Oh,
It was mortifying, and his mouth was very bloody, but I think he was hammered, so it's fine.
It was all right.
Oh, gosh. Chief, what you drinking? What you think?
That's awesome. I'm drinking the Martin House Mayday IPA, 6% West Coaster. That's what I'll be probably 6%. Swimming in next Saturday at Martin House Brewing. Certainly thinking about that, thinking about a great weekend we have ahead. Thinking about the batting 1,000 Ross Lubinsky right now, but this is where he's really about to get tested.
Yeah.
So over the course of these next 32 minutes where things can really get off the rails here. He's pitched a great 5.5 innings or so.
Done a nice job.
It might bottom out. This is third time through the order stuff for Ross. So he's hanging tough. And but Sunday, we get the day off because it's a Monday night Cowboys game. So we're just going to be Sandlot charitying.
Wow.
And it's going to be an awesome time. Globe Life Field, House of Champions.
Yes, please join us there. You can still bid on our table. $1,500, the high bid. Woolchuck drinking, thinking.
Just sipping on some water. Not an alcoholic yet. I will be busting into some beverages as soon as we get off the clock here at 7 o'clock. Not that that's ever stopped me before.
He said clock with an L, by the way.
I did. I am thinking that, you know, if you want to get the bid up on our $1,500, we'd love that. Also, could use a bit on KNC for the Sandlot charity on Sunday. They have nothing right now. They're batting a goose egg.
That would be sweet.
Not good for them at all.
That would make us the ultimate teammates if we could sell their table for them as well.
And that's what we're trying
to do. It's the holiday spirit. We're in a giving mood.
It's giving. It's the season of giving. And the Stars, big game tonight in Vegas against the Golden Knights. I think they're going to get that dub.
Let's go Stars. Well, it's Ross. Do you want to inform us what you're drinking and thinking? I know he is screening line number nine.
But I know Ross. He drinks and thinks.
There are currently no lines open here in the G-Bag Nation. Every Friday night, we take your phone calls. Ross, what do you say?
Sounds good. I'm just sipping on some coffee, doing that as I love to do here. You know, I love to just drink so much coffee each day that I kind of start like vibrating a little bit.
Me too. Yeah.
And that's just kind of my bread and butter, especially here working this 2-7. But we ready to get started?
Let's go. Line one, Polo in Garland. Woo! Welcome into the show. It was great to meet you this week, by the way, buddy. What you drinking? What you thinking?
What's going on, fellas? I'm eating some quesadillas that my girl just made, and they're delicious.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I'm sipping on some cherry Pepsi. I figured on this Crown Royal XO in a few minutes.
Let's go.
But like I said, it was so wonderful finally meeting you guys this past week. But I'm gonna be mad. I was mad about one situation,
uh-oh,
and that was my server at the place.
Uh-oh. What happened?
She was the worst doggone person I ever met in my life as far as being a waitress. I left her a dollar on the table for a tip, and I was so mad at her. My girlfriend picked up the dollar and put it in her purse. I didn't get mad about it.
That's crazy, because she had nothing but glowing things to say about you, Polo.
I don't care what she said about me. The girl was horrible. Anyway, what I'm thinking is, I'm thinking like a lot of the Cowboy fans, I'm going to give my props to Zach Martin. I don't know if he's going to come back next year, but, dude, you've been a warrior. If I were you, I'd be really mad because it seems like every time they want to restructure somebody's contract, they always ask you to do it. I tell Jerry, now, with your Crypt Keeper looking butt, like your skin from the fall off, and the Mavericks, I don't understand what's wrong with y'all. I would have never gave Klay Thompson that money because y'all playing just good without Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
We need another big somebody to back up P.J. Washington because Maxi Kleber ain't getting it done. I'm looking at all the box scores. He may get one rebound, 20 minutes, and 0 points. That's just ridiculous, man. We need somebody on the team that go dunk on somebody, like I've been saying for years. And, Bryce, I love you, even though you love LSU.
Yeah.
And everybody else, I wish my boy Lucian. Hey, Gavin, I'm kind of mad at you because you didn't sign my flag, man.
Oh, no.
Got to go.
What? I didn't? That's my bad, Polo. I'm going to have to catch up with you,
love you, Polo,
some other time. Okay. That opens a line at 877-881-1053. You're on the G-Bag Nation. What you laughing about, Brian?
I think there was some intent there.
You think I didn't sign the flag on purpose?
I think you did.
I think so.
I think you did. I think you just kind of gave Polo the Heisman.
Nah, I'll sign any flag. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm undefeated. Well, yeah. Apparently no,
you encourage
no
people to bring their flags to sign.
I do. I love it.
I was surprised you didn't get this one done.
That's why he always says, if you see me, flag me.
Right?
I mean, it's well documented, Broadus.
Line two is Black and Gold B. What you drinking and what you thinking, buddy?
Yo, what's going on, fellas? Man, I've been sick these last couple of days, so I'm just going to be sipping on some water tonight. Hmm. And I'm thinking that it sucks that we couldn't take advantage of the Falcons losing and gain a little bit of ground in this division. Because I think that is the only way we can make the playoffs if we win the division. And with 5 games left and only with 2 games back, I just feel like we're going to end up on just right on the outside looking in. It sucks.
But, we being the Ants, right?
Yeah. Get ready to pick behind Dallas.
I had a different song in mind I was going to recommend, but just the way I just said that, the song I'm going to recommend now for the weekend is Inside Looking Out and it's by Grand Funk Railroad. Mm. Hey, y'all have a great weekend, fellas. Can't wait to see y'all next Saturday.
Yeah. I can't believe the Saints are still in it. You know,
yeah.
they still have a shot.
Fired the coach. They're not a couple wins. Yeah.
Yeah. Jewelry is just, it's amazing. And Diamonds Direct, obviously, is the recommendation. That's a terrific line though, Ron. I'm thinking the perfect gift for her is a magazine rack. That'll go over well. I won't be surprised if he does it. Dude, it's hilarious. Line four is Rafa in Dallas. You're in the Jeep Bag Nation. What you drinking? What you thinking, Rafa? Hey, buddy.
I'm drinking a Twisted Tea. Okay. Well, not anymore because I came inside the store, but I had a question. So should Texas try to lose the game? Because I know, like, if they win, they'll try to get the first bye or whatever, but shouldn't that game be, like, 3 weeks, and wouldn't that affect them? Because it'll be, like, the Navy versus Army game this upcoming – or next weekend, and then, like, the playoffs between the 5 and 12, and that'll be a second week. Shouldn't that affect them? I'll shut up and listen.
Thank you, Rafa.
Yes. He's thinking about
intentionally lose for Longhorns.
Yeah, because
I mean, Rafa, is there a line there?
The call, but I don't think that they intentionally losers ever. You know,
I kind of feel like that you need to find a way to win this game and then get the bye.
Yeah, there's the outside the box thinking.
And there's something to be said about being an SEC champion your first year in the conference. And I think the bye is a lot. You don't have to play a game, and you could easily lose that first round game and get upset. So I think it's all about the dub.
Yeah. I think you just kind of look at it like, hey, we really want to win. If we don't, not the end of the world.
No.
You know?
I get the rust.
But it's one of those thrown out there. It's one of those few championship games that you do really want
to
win.
It might give you a possibility too to get Quinn Ewers a little bit more healthy too.
Good. Absolutely.
You know.
Banks is walking around in a gosh dang boot.
Yeah, it's a rough game for a couple guys. Yeah.
You know what that spells? Trouble. At 877-881-1053. Let's go next door to the state of New Mexico, where Gary is calling in on line five. And good evening, Gary. What you drinking? What you thinking?
Hey, guys. I am drinking a bad cup of coffee trying to finish up the sermon for Sunday morning.
Oh.
But I was listening to y'all a minute ago, man, and Broadus has got me fired up. And I've just got to get this off my chest because my wife does not care. So, Broadus, you're about 8 years older than me.
Yes.
You're a little bit more crusty than I am, but I'm pretty darn close, brother.
Okay.
And y'all were going down those list of linemen, and you made that little comment that you make from time to time, reminding people that the Cowboys were pretty good before 1989.
Yeah.
I got to give y'all a history lesson, man. I just got to get it off my chest. The Dallas Cowboys were America's team. They were a worldwide brand. They were a household name long before anybody knew who Jerry Jones was.
True.
When Jerry Jones bought that team in 1989, I was a junior in high school, and that was national news. We watched it on Nightline that night because he fired Tom Landry. And that had nothing to do with Jerry. That had everything to do with the first regime. And I love Jerry Jones. I love listening to him on your shows. He's a funny dude. He's done some good things. He's in the Hall of Fame. But he's the second best owner in Cowboys history. Mm. Clint Murchison is the best owner in Cowboys history. He's the original owner. He's the one that got the franchise in Dallas. He's the one that hired Tom Landry and Tex Schramm and Gil Brandt and then got out of the way and let them do their job. And once Jimmy Johnson's team got old and disbanded through free agency, Jerry has not sniffed a Super Bowl. And that sucks for you young fans like Zach. Man, Zach, I wish you could have grown up when me and Brian did, because I didn't experience a losing season until I was a freshman in high school. And they haven't come close in 30 years, and it's just driving me crazy, and I don't see any end in sight.
Appreciate you, Gary. Glad to be here for you so you could unload.
That might be one of the best damn calls I've ever heard.
Nice work, G. Yeah. I mean, and that's really, I think they can overcome it. I think they've been close enough a couple of times, you know, bad luck. Do you guys feel like they can overcome it?
No, I don't. I think, and that's why I do get annoyed a little bit when it seems like blame is on the coaching staff. They've had a bunch of different coaches. They have a bunch of different quarterbacks. It's the same damn problems.
They're one play from beating the Niners. They're a snap away from beating the Seahawks in 07.
I've seen enough of those. I've gone through enough of the heartbreak.
What about the Red Sox? We're cursed. You know, and for the Cubs for a century,
they actually
cursed.
Got a GM that they let do a job. So, you know, if that day ever comes, if Jerry and Steven and whoever has the last name Jones says, I am okay with it not being my way, and I will allow the football people to do the football things, then maybe. But the way that it's headed since Jimmy left, it ain't working. And I think the thing that Dak said when it comes to, like, on his terms with Mike McCarthy, and we hear whispers like, oh, why is Zeke playing? It's because the man upstairs wants him to play.
Yeah.
That's always going to be a problem.
I think kind of what happened between 2010 and 2023 is that great offensive line, you know. And if you would take away those three picks and then evaluate what else the team had done, you know, I think they would have been spinning their wheels in sub 500. But that offensive line put Tony and Dak in such a great position to play great offense. By the time they figured out in 14 and 16, oh, we need a pass rush, they tried to build defense for a while. They pretty much failed at that, other than like the tank pick, you know, taking banged up Sean Lee. You know, so I think they do a good job of drafting offensive linemen. And I would look at what happened in those 4 years with those three draft picks as the model for how to get back and reopen up a window.
You.
And that's kind of like where my confidence begins that they could break it, is because they have done some really good things. It's going to take one or two more good picks and a trade for a guy who's an actual legit number two wide receiver and a good corner instead of, you know, Cooks and Gilmore, no disrespect, really good players in their time. But, you know, that to me is close enough. Like, how close you were. You stopped the 49ers attack effectively with Dan Quinn in, what, one or two of those games. Yeah. So I'll continue to hold the faith and think it's at least somewhat possible, but not like super probable. I agree with pretty much everything else that guy said at 877-881-1053. We are... We're packed in once again. No lines open. Let's go here to line six. It's Big Jim. Thanks for calling in, brother. What you drinking? What you thinking?
Well, fellas, I'm just finishing up a Whataburger double meat burger and some French fries and a Dr. Pepper. Little out of character for me on drinking and thinking, but that's what I'm doing. I'm thinking Gary was about to call to the altar and pass the plate there.
He
going
was.
On like he was. So kudos to him. I think he kind of shares a lot of what we got. Hey, one thing, I missed that thankful thing that y'all did. I really do appreciate y'all so much, and love every one of you and everything that you do. So I'm very thankful for you, and that you're a small part of, big part of my life. I'm a little tiny, ant on a bull's ass, you know, for you guys. But, hey, I want to say this, two things, listen to Zach Martin yesterday. What a hero for the Cowboys. I love that fella. I think he's just the best, one of the best Cowboys we ever had. And we want to wish him all the best as he gets ready for surgery. Other thing I was thinking, listening to Micah Parsons yesterday, you know, he did the interview at his locker. And boys, that thing ran 15 minutes and 58 seconds. Let me tell you something. I didn't disagree with the thing that fella said. He has grown this season. I think him being out and hurt, I think he has grown. He's obviously a difference maker in this defense. I think he's handling himself, and I think he has become a pro's pro. And I just want to tell you, he's probably not listening, but Mike, I'm very proud of you. I'm proud of the man you're becoming and the player you become. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. Appreciate you, fellas. Well, Chuck Burris, I'll talk to you on Monday night,
Sounds
I guess.
Good. Have Thank good. You.
There he goes. Big Jim, have a great weekend, buddy. Yeah, I think that call is well received as well. What you drinking, what you thinking, brought to you by Martin House Brewing. We have a fan hang coming up at Martin House, I think, pretty soon.
Sure next do. Saturday,
next
baby.
Saturday.
Nice. Okay, line seven is Panther Bo. Here are you, Panther Bo. You're in the nation. What you drinking and what you thinking?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be drinking a Shinerbach here shortly once I get out of this egregious traffic I'm in.
I'd try that Martin House if I could. If
you Dr. Bach.
Get the Dr. Bach for sure. But go ahead, sir. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No. I appreciate it. I'm thinking a couple of things. I'm thinking these Belichick rumors. I don't think it's going to be anything serious with what he's already asking to get his son as the, you know, future coach of UNC. And I tell you what, I think when it's all said and done, it's going to be a leverage play, and he's going to end up as the Cowboys coach. Will he have GM responsibilities with Steven and Jerry? I don't know, but I kind of see that happening. Also, I think SMU is going to have to win by if they lose, they can't lose by more than a touchdown, because you know this playoff committee is going to hose them. They're going to hose any team out of the ACC. They did it last. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the Mustangs to pony up, but they got to play hard, and all the pressure's on them. But All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Panther Bo. I love those thoughts. You know, my take on the Steve Belichick thing, D.C. at Washington right now, the Huskies, I saw him on TV last week, is that informs us what Bill's mind is. You know, he is still looking at this like, I'm the GOAT, and I'm going to bring my friends and family along for the ride. I'm now more convinced than ever it would be a disaster to make him the Cowboys coach. I mean, just get ready for Josh McDaniels or whoever as your coordinators.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, if he's your head coach, he probably wants his son to be his defensive coordinator, you know, even at the NFL level. I do think it's interesting because we know how much we've heard about the ego of him and wanting to have the all-time NFL wins.
Yeah.
Passing Shula. And he's like, what? Like a season's worth of games away, 10 to 15 games away, something like that.
Yeah.
So obviously college credentials don't mean anything for that unless you just like forget that. And if I can go be a legend for a half decade in college football, what does that do to my overall just narrative?
Yeah, it doesn't change it much. You know, it's a nice place to go coach with your son as, you know, you still have coaching in your body, but it doesn't do anything for chasing down Don Shula. So I think that's a good point as well. Like, is he really negotiating like he wants to take this job and he's ready to take this job? That would be surprising. Don at 328, George Halas 318, and Bill at 302.
Yeah.
Wow. He's too old to get there, isn't he? You might want to flush that idea.
Those last couple years, this is going to take me three, 4 years. Yeah, really hurt him.
How many away is he?
He is 26 away.
Oh, he's 26 away. Oh, yeah. that's a fair amount more than I thought it was.
I mean, with the Cowboys and the roster, it's looking like that's 4 years of football.
Probably.
Okay, Ryan in Richardson, you're in the G-Bag Nation. What you drinking and what you thinking, Ryan?
Hey, right now, I'm not drinking anything because I'm picking up my girls from daycare. But when I get home, I think this time I will have some Jack and Mountain Dew. And I'm thinking, man, I don't know about y'all, but the Mavs, I think this year their team is – they made the NBA Finals last year, but I think this team has more depth and has more – I mean, just more talented than last year's team overall. Like, and the game against Memphis, was it the game before last?
Yeah.
Like, that ending of that game, those last, like, 6 minutes were intense. Oh, my gosh. Because at first, like, before the half, I didn't think the Mavs were going to win.
No.
Pulled off. But they came back, and, man, and what they won four in a row without Luka?
Yeah. Like, no, yeah. We're with you. We're with you, Ryan. Thanks for the call. Opens a line at 877-881-1053. Significantly deeper, significantly better. I think you'd rather have Derek Jones Jr. than Klay Thompson right now.
Yeah.
I just love how resourceful this front office is, and they seem to have the ability to finesse and massage deals much better than previous front offices.
Yes.
The amount of players they've been able to add is just mind-numbing.
I mean, they're obviously 9-1 in their last 10 games, number 2 in net rating in that time, number 3 in offense, 9 in defense, and like you mentioned, they're not fully healthy at all. So
it's got the makings of maybe the best Mavs team ever. They're able to accomplish their goals.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they could easily find themselves in first place here in the not-too-distant future. And when they get fully healthy, you know, they could lay waste. They could go on a monster winning streak here and make a run at 60 wins plus. Dennis in Dallas, you're in the G-Back Nation. What you drinking and what you thinking, Dennis? It's line 9 there, Ross. Yeah, there we go. Hey, Dennis.
Good evening, boys. You got me?
Yes, sir.
I'm on my way to relax with a bottle of Merlot, and I was thinking – I want to go along with what the earlier caller said. You know, when Jerry bought the Cowboys, they became the biggest toy in his toy box. And when Jimmy Johnson came along and showed Jerry the right way to play with that toy and had more fun with it than he did, he decided at that time that no one else was going to be able to play with his toys as good as him, and they've never been close to being as much fun as they were when Jimmy had him, and that's all I got to say.
Your dead ball's on, Dennis. He would rather lose his way.
Yes, it's been proven.
That's unfortunate. I do like a good bottle of Merlot, but that Cabernet Sauvignon is just a little smoother, if you ask me, Brian. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah, I absolutely do.
I used to love watching Sopranos and just getting like that double bottle, that giant bottle.
Oh, dude, watching the Sopranos and drinking that.
Binge watching and binge drinking.
That'd be fun.
It was special time. Back then, you'd have to get them on DVDs, of course.
You did.
Ooh.
Okay, back to the top we go. What you drinking and what you thinking. If you're wondering where LA Live is, Lucius is out again tonight. So we look forward to his return.
Yeah.
Line one is Danny in Dallas. You're in the G-Bag Nation. What you drinking, what you thinking?
Did we just go from Dennis in Dallas to Danny in Dallas?
Sure did.
Double D's.
Are we going Debbie in Dallas? Debbie Does Dallas next?
Oh, there you go. Old school reference there.
I hope so. So I'm drinking a Beatbox. All of my topics, they'll be quick. None of them are sports related. Okay. Brian Broaddus.
Sir.
A few years ago, you said that it's best to park on the passenger side of a car.
Yes.
You remember that?
So, yes, I did.
But yes, you don't do that because the kid is in the passenger side, and they're more likely to ding your car.
Okay.
So that's number one.
Noted.
And then number two, Gavin Dawson, do you recall many years ago a man texting in, and you read the text on air about his girl moving to Seattle around the time that Dez Bryant was being let go?
Yes, I do. It was yesterday. Was that you?
That was me. And also, I'm the guy that texted in and said his girl broke up with him after Thanksgiving.
Okay. Here we go. Why don't we just go right to that story? Why are we?
I just walked back into my backyard, and there's a cat like that I don't know rolling around on its back. So I'm going to give it some attention while I listen to you all.
There he goes. Danny, salute to you. Danny in Dallas opens a line. Not in the work parking garage, because I use that tool almost every day.
Yeah.
You hug tight to the passenger side, especially at work. People are driving in by themselves. Yeah. And maybe at the mall, that's going to backfire on you.
Yeah, restaurants or something.
Time and place.
Yeah.
But I just felt like in our parking garage,
the garage makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
Maybe he'd been over sniffing and the girl was like, I can't handle this anymore.
Speaking of legends, on line two, the man who probably 12 years ago emblazoned the G-Bag Nation grenade logo on his right arm. It's G-Bag Justin in Stephenville. What you drinking and what you thinking, brother?
Guys, I'm here, sitting here in Stephenville, probably on my 69th Miller Lite Tall Boy.
There we go.
Official beer of my Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. One, I want to know why I happen to be rejected from getting access to the G-Bag Nation Facebook page.
Okay.
Second, I want to know when the hell we can get Max DiClebo off this Dallas Mavericks team, because he's making my life hell. And I'm going to steal something from Rodeo Ron. You're not hanging out with the G-Bag Nation, and you got your wife in your bed and two other women, then where the F you at, baby?
Let's go, G-Bag Justin.
G-Bag Justin.
He is a movement. He is. I think between Kleba, Powell, and Thompson, you have good contracts that add up to a significant amount of money. You throw in some draft picks, and I'm excited about what Nico's going to be able to pull off with that collection of assets. Maybe throw in Hardy in there on a very team-friendly contract. Cody in Quinlan is on line three.
Cody,
see you
in
the nation.
Yeah,
Cody. What you drink? What you think?
Hey guys, how we doing?
That's good, brother. How are you?
Doing good. Drinking a good old, Dr. Pepper. Heading home from the day.
Okay.
If I was drinking, it'd be that rock and roll tequila.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, but what I'm thinking, man, to reamp the Pro Bowl because it's a mess. What if we went back to the AFC versus NFC, but the winner gets to host the Super Bowl?
Oh, like instead of doing a neutral site Super Bowl, winner of the Pro Bowl, like the World Series used to do. You get home field advantage.
Yeah, but you have to
do
have
y'all
the,
think it would re like, do y'all think it would give the players more incentive to actually play?
Maybe the one or two guys that know they're on good teams that have a chance at the Super Bowl. But a lot of those guys, I don't know if that'll move the needle.
Correct me. How are we doing this? Okay, you're saying that if the AFC wins, is it an AFC city? Is that what he's saying?
The winner of the AFC title game would host.
Gets to host it. So let's say, like the Chiefs next year, if they want it, if the AFC won it, the Chiefs would host it, or the
Chargers.
There's
just so much planning involved with the Super Bowl city and everything.
That's what I'm saying, though. There's so much. And it's all really about the sponsors.
Right.
You know that. Nobody wants to go to, now,
Kansas City.
If you build a stadium in Minneapolis or Detroit or one of these places, the league will reward you with that, with the Super Bowl. But they're not going back. Nobody wants to go stand in cold weather for all these parties and stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody that's the NFL is like, no. I mean, we were some of these, the Arizona one and Vegas ones and stuff like that. You got to think about weather and outdoor parties and stuff like that. Is
that's why we're screwed. Probably won't ever get another one again.
So it's, that it's
ice,
crazy.
The ice storm, and but also what happened with the seats.
I think the seats was bad. Yeah.
We're a little greedy.
But yeah.
So basically, the Pro Bowl is just a dumpster fire.
Yeah. I like the idea though, Cody. I mean, I think it's a good idea. The NFL would just probably not want it.
That one game is about sponsors. Not anybody else.
Let's get into one more at least. John in Plano, you're in the Nation. What you drinking and what you thinking?
You got Don from Dallas, Don Plano.
Salute, we're Don. Good.
Yeah. Salute. Met you guys up at Leisure's Pool and Spas. Got my G-Bag calendar.
Sorry.
Flagtober.
Uh-huh. Very nice.
Hey, what I'm drinking, I got a bottle of water for the ride home. What am I thinking? Got two-part, one for Krusty.
Yeah.
You said Dan Lanning would not be a good coaching candidate for the Cowboys because of Phil Knight's and Jerry's relationship.
Yeah.
So what if Oregon goes out and wins the Natty this year?
Sure.
What does that do to the thought process?
Yeah.
And then next question is just the mindset on the coach in waiting at all, you know? So do we want to go more defensive oriented, or, you know, do we need to have somebody like an offensive coordinator that's going to, you know, need to meet Dak's needs for the next 4 years? I'll listen to you guys. Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend, Don.
Kind of feel like, though, that, again, I think that Jerry doesn't want to mess with his relationship with Phil Knight. And I think Phil Knight, but you're right, if he wins a national championship, that's even more incentive for Phil Knight to keep. You know, and I think Jerry would back off from that. I just don't think that he would go and poach this guy's coach. You know, the relationship, his relationship with Nike goes all the way back into the early 90s.
Hmm.
So I just don't, I think they're looked at as business partners.
It's that here. Tight of a relationship, huh?
Very tight relationship. So,
I mean, Oregon's been through a lot of coaches over the last 20 years.
They have.
I mean, they're used to going and finding other guys.
Yeah, but this one to me, if I'm Phil Knight, this is the one. This
Atlanta gives me a lot of Jimmy Johnson vibes.
Yeah, this is the one guy that you want to keep around as long as you can.
We'd love to see you at the Globe on Sunday. Sandlot Children's Charity Swinging for a Cause, an annual event with Jared Sandler, and you can bid on the booth right now. The high bid's $1,500. Just text in. And let's finish with line three. Tim in Carthage, you're in the Nation. What you drinking? What you thinking?
What up, Pappy?
Hey, man, how's everybody doing? Drinking a little bit of Jim Beam in honor of Rodeo Ron. And I want to say this. I want to say if there was a time when I wish I could be at one place on Sunday, it would be at Globe. And if there was a time when I wish I could have a reunion over in Fort Worth, it would be next Saturday. But I'm sorry, guys, I'm not going to be able to make it. Now, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that you guys have told me what you're drinking. I want you to tell me what you're thinking to Tim, and I'll give you a damn answer.
Tim, I'm thinking it's crazy that you and Ron are buddies, because you being a distinguished former principal and him being a full-blown degenerate in several ways, I love that. You see the human in each other. Salute to you. I
like well, you know what you can do?
Yeah.
You know what you can do, Dalton? You can thank Kenny and Quinlan for that, because he's the one that brought Rodeo Ron into my life.
I love it, buddy. Have a great weekend. There goes Tim in Carthage. I was going through the Christmas stuff after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And
you started using your gloves?
Well, you know, I was just pulling stuff out.
Socks.
And the last bag that I got to, I was, you know, I turned it around, and it was the present Kenny gave us last year to Dawson family. It had thermal socks in there, and hats and gloves. And,
essentials.
You know, it was just, you know, it was just a bit of a tearjerker there. Still can't believe our beloved Kitty and Quinlan is gone. Get you two shots of rock and roll tequila. We'll talk to you next week, what you drinking and what you thinking. Coming up next, it's time for the Chuck Wagon. Well, Chuck, what you taking us?
Ghosting Gronk, the power of the SEC, and what scouts are saying about Clay in Dallas. That's next.